Welcome to the Talent Development Think Tank Podcast, the number one podcast for learning and talent development professionals. Now here's your host, Andy Storch.
Welcome back to the Talent Development Think Tank Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Storch, and I'm excited that you're joining me today for my bonus Q&A conversation with Kevin Cruz, who is the founder and CEO of LeadX, offering an AI-powered leadership habits-building platform. Kevin is also a New York Times bestselling author of multiple books and an expert on areas such as leadership development, culture, and engagement. And if you haven't yet listened to our last conversation, where we talked a lot about what's going on in the talent development world, the trends that Kevin and I are seeing, what's going on with leadership development, the importance of getting more strategic and measuring impact in learning, and how you can think about measuring the impact, especially of your leadership development programs, and which behaviors are leading to more engagement and improved culture in organizations. Make sure you go check that out, because we covered a lot of ground. Kevin talked about a lot of really great stuff in that conversation. So go back and check that out. Today is our bonus Q&A conversation. And Kevin, I want to start with this. You've done a lot in your career over the last, 30 plus years, running multiple companies, working in the L&D space. You've started different companies. What would you say has been your biggest accomplishment or proudest moment in your career so far?
It's funny because I've done a lot of stuff and I don't really have a feeling of like pride or achievement on most of those things. And if anything, like the things that are more popular or even business successful are the things I don't care much about. I would say what I feel the best about is the most recent work. It's like taking 30 years of experience in leadership development, talent development, and creating this digital AI-enabled system that actually gets measurable results. You give it to your managers and employee engagement goes up and stress goes down and coaching conversations goes up. But I'm happiest with it, but it's not what people want. It's not what the market is responding to. So the things I'm most pleased about, it's the same with my writing. Like my favorite writing is the stuff that gets like five people to ever read it. The viral stuff, I don't care about so much. So like, yeah. I love this system, this platform we've created, but it's not the most successful stuff, because it's a little on the edge, I think. It's a little too soon.
No, no doubt. And I think it's great to be proud of. It doesn't have to be the thing that everyone else is excited about. What are you most proud of? On the flip side, what would you say is one of your biggest mistakes or failures, and what did you learn from it?
Yeah, of course, tons of business failures, book failures, all kinds of things like that. I mean, I think the one that stings the most, but also makes me laugh, is the biggest failure was our AI-powered coach chatbot. So we were the first company to release an AI executive coach. It was 5 years ago. We used IBM Watson. So it was before ChatGPT was out, and it was painful. I spent $1 million on it. We spent 2 years fighting with IBM Watson, and Wall Street Journal wrote an article about it. And I can even remember, Andy, like I was so excited. We were working on it. It was a Saturday morning. I couldn't sleep. I got up. I started talking to the coach on my phone, and it answered me. It gave me an answer that was a good answer that I didn't anticipate. I hadn't seen before. It was like watching Frankenstein come to life. It's like, oh my God, we just did it. This thing just coached me, right?
Yeah.
And so I loved it. People loved it. And it became my biggest failure because nobody would buy it. And here we are now post ChatGPT, and everyone's talking about, there's the Marshall Goldsmith coach AI chatbot, and there's going to be another coach chatbot. Nobody's going to buy any of them. And same reason they didn't buy mine 5 years ago. It's because HR is not going to invest in what works or in what their people want. They're going to invest in things that are safe. And with the robot coaches, there is the tiny, tiny, tiny chance that it's going to hallucinate and it's going to say something weird. Andy's going to ask it a question and it's going to say, maybe you should go find a new job, Andy. Or maybe you should get a new boss. Your boss sucks. Probably not. But there's this little chance that an AI is going to say something. There's a story last week about Canada Air had a GPT-powered customer service bot, and it told someone how to do a certain discount. And then it was not true. And so the person got mad that they weren't being given their discount, and they sued. And the court said, hey, Canada Air, you owe this person money because it you had it on your website. Right. So now imagine the risk to companies if you've got this AI-powered coach telling people things and doing something that could hurt their mental health, make them do something weird at work or whatever. Nobody's going to buy these AI-powered coaches. So that was my biggest failure. You know, we thought we were so innovative. We spent so much time. Everybody loved it. HR people would not buy it.
Nobody bought it. That's so interesting about, playing it safe. And you would think human factor, human error would, you know, in the end be more risky for things like this. But
Great minds think alike, Andy. I would counter the objection with, do you know what your human executive coaches are saying in these private conversations? You don't think some of them are going rogue?
I mean, and I think about autonomous driving, like when we get to the point where it's proven that the autonomous driving vehicles are safer or have a less of a rate of accidents than humans, how much longer will we still wait to approve it for people to be able to have those vehicles? And I'm guessing it'll be several years because, you know, we'll want to make sure it's completely safe. Yep. And then it'll be many, many years after that before a lot of people give up driving on their own, which is fine. You know, they can still have the right. I made a prediction when my kids were young, when they were first born, that like, oh, my kids will never drive a car. And now I'm like, I don't know, because, you know, my daughter just turned 10. We're 6 years away from her potentially getting a license. And, you know, autonomous vehicles should be pretty much ubiquitous at that point, but they're not going to really get, they may not still be approved for most companies.
Right. I have just recently for fun, I got a Tesla with the full self-driving and it blows me away how good it is. Yeah. I mean, it takes me from, you know, three hours away to my driveway with, and when I intervene, it's just because I get nervous. It's not that it's done something wrong. Yeah. I mean, I don't think people realize how good the full self-driving cars are these days, but you read about a horrific accident in San Francisco that one car had with someone. And it's, you know, we're humans, we're emotional beings. It's like, holy crap, shut that company down, shut down these cars. Mm-hmm. I'm going to vote no on the legislation that's going to legalize this. So I would have thought you had a safe bet. I would have agreed, you know, and I think it's going to happen, but it's going to take another decade or something after that.
Yeah. And the auto industry may fight it as well. We'll see, because people are going to need or buy less cars. We'll see what happens. Let's get back to talent development. I'm serious that we could just talk about AI and autonomous vehicles. Let's get back to talent development. What would you say is one of the biggest challenges? We talked about some of this stuff, the biggest challenges in talent development today.
Yeah. I mean, we went deep on the interview, so I'll just try to do the short version. I mean, I hate to be so negative about it, but I mean, in all the conversations and the benchmark data we have, last year was horrific in terms of getting budgets cut, headcount reduced for talent development. And so the pressure is on more than ever before to show measurable results. And so, you know, unfortunately, you know, most talent development folks are not measuring even Kirkpatrick 3 or 4. And I think it's not a new concept. Everybody says they're going to do it. They should do it. I think you really need to be doing it now. We've moved such into a world of measurement and data, and there's a huge gap among talent development professionals. Like that's what's really been missing.
We talked about a few trends in our last conversation, like measurement and leadership. And we talked a little bit about AI and skills as well. Any other trends in talent development that you're following or you're excited about, or one that you want to just, you know, double down on?
Well, I say tongue in cheek, like, you know, we don't, at LeadX, we don't follow trends. We set the trends, right? Yeah. Usually to our you know, like being 5 years early with an AI coach that no one wants, right? So the things that we're seeing now that is working great in the workplace, it's hyper-personalized behavioral nudges. You know, so this is a little different than, it's closer to Burson's idea of learning in the flow of work, but it's like, let's create AI term, a digital twin for each leader, for each employee. What do we know about their personality, the competencies? How are they doing on employee engagement surveys? What are their interests? And then, you know, rather than sending them to a one-off training event, can we give them one or two nudges a week, totally personalized to the individual? You know, people don't care about training because it's like, doesn't apply to me, not realistic. This is completely tied to you as an individual. And then you can read it, change your behavior, or tap it and get your little 1 minute to 5 minute micro learning. We think that's a trend that people are sleeping on. Like that is a, this is an unlock and people are sleeping on it. The nudges are going to be more powerful than like chat body things. And then just this whole idea of data-driven personalization. So we're getting there, you know, set up your resume, upload your CV, whatever, and then you get your career path or something, but to the next level, your personality, you know, your personality, the personality of your team members, it's just, that's going to be really where everything's going to move.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin, is there a book or a TED Talk that has made a big impact for you other than your own, or that you often recommend?
So, I mean, these aren't, I was trying to come up with something that might be more unique and I don't really have, but it's just the truth is personally, like the classics, you know, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl, Think and Grow Rich when I was a kid, set me on kind of an entrepreneurship path. Brené Brown, Daring Greatly. I mean, I was 40, but I had a big growth around, you know, self-awareness around issues of self-worth. When it comes to talent development, I think not enough people are reading Dan Ponifract. He's got a whole bunch of books that are just great. Liz Weissman, Kim Scott, of course, Kim's with Radical Candor. I'm sure talent dev people know of those, but Those books probably most closely align with my own thinking on engagement and the value of feedback.
Yeah, I like it. Lots of great recommendations there. Is there a, other than LeadX, an app or a platform that you really like using that makes your job easier or helps you be more productive?
Yeah, I mean, as of late, I have one tab open up to ChatGPT-4 and another tab open to, you know, the free version of Gemini. And I'm using them every day. You know, I'm using them for search. I'm using them for data analysis, uploading spreadsheets. I'm using them to help me write or brainstorm, you know, article ideas, LinkedIn posts and things like that. I recently uploaded from a business standpoint, a presentation to my investors and had it analyze and give me questions that would be raised. So, I mean, just the simple, very affordable ChatGPT or Gemini, I think have been helpful for me. And I think people should just be experimenting with them.
Yeah, I like that. I like putting the presentation in. I did that recently. I had a client who was interested in a keynote I had given recently and asked for a summary. And so I just took the slides and I uploaded them to GPT-4 and asked it for a summary of my presentation. And it gave me one. It wasn't perfect. I went and edited it, but I was like, here you go. There's a summary of my presentation. So there's so much you can do with it. Last question, Kevin, I know you're an entrepreneur yourself, but you work with a lot of people in talent development, talk to a lot of chief people officers. You see what things have helped people become successful. For those in talent development who are looking for more success in their own careers, what's one more piece of advice you would give?
Well, I mean, I think I would give tough love advice, which is if you're in talent development, you may have been raised or mentored by people who traditionally are not asked to measure results. You know, they're more of an order taker than a thought leader, than a driver. And so I would just challenge you, if you're in talent development and you want an amazing career, take it seriously. You know, take the role seriously. Know that you can show measurable results. Your work matters to the business and you need to measure it. So lean into the science. Like, what does science say works for talent development? Push, have professional courage, you know, go make friends with your chief financial officer and any other C-levels that you can get to start to build relationships, to persuade them, to fight for 10% budget for innovative projects and experimentation. Like, don't be passive, be aggressive, be on offense.
I like it. Be aggressive. Go out there, meet people, be more strategic, aggressive. Move from order taker to more strategic, measure those results. Kevin, this has been great. Thanks again for coming on, for sharing so much of your experience and wisdom with us. I'll remind people, leadx.org is the website where you can go get some of those reports and find out more about the work you're doing. The podcast is The Culture Code. You have many books, including 15 Secrets Successful People Know About Time Management and many others. So go look Kevin up. You can find him on LinkedIn. Make sure that you are following me or connected with me on LinkedIn as well, sharing content on a regular basis. And I hope that you will share this podcast with others as you go through your own talent development journey. If you want to find out more information about our podcast, as well as the membership community we run and the conference we have coming up at the end of the year, you can go to tdtt.us. That's tdtt.us. All right. Thank you again for listening. Hope you take care of yourself and other people too. Take care.